Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Here we go, go, go.
Hella tight.
What did it say?
Nothing. It was just a five-star.
Just a five-star thing? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Sheesh.
Right on my side is my ego becomes.
Right on my side is my ego becomes.
That's
the fucking time was I was about to be like, here, kick a freak in a freak and chicken. Gotta get a cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Frigga goo goo.
Frigga goo goo, frigga goo goo.
He's like, I gotta delete it and trick the algorithm, dude. I gotta go again.
I gotta drink the algorithm?
No, trick the algorithm, dude.
It's like gambling, dude.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 211. This is Jorge.
This is Bartolo. No, this is Matt.
Hi, Matt. This is Rhett.
Hello, Rhett.
Hello, Rhett. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, borrachos?
Bartolos.
Bartolos.
Yeah. Bartolo.
It's Easter, eh?
It's Easter. Happy Easter to you guys.
Happy April 21st. I guess I shouldn't have said the actual date since this won't come out for two more weeks.
This basically is for my kids.
Candy day.
Candy and money day for them.
Yeah, your kids are lucky. You guys give them money. We just had a bunch of fucking candy everywhere.
You know what?
Everywhere.
You know what, dude? Easter might supplant fucking Halloween on a long enough timeline then, dude. Because they get candy and fucking money.
And eggs.
And eggs.
You know how much protein are in those fucking things?
Like, lots. The plastic ones?
No.
Yeah.
Actual eggs.
Oh.
You guys don't hunt, like, for real eggs?
Did you know that plastic is the petroleum molecule rearranged, bro?
You're the petroleum mom.
So what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Nothing at all.
How are you doing nothing?
That's how I'm doing.
I'm doing
nothing. I'm existing. That's how I'm
doing. Only just.
Yeah. I had a dream I got stabbed. That was crazy.
Did you wake up all fucking...
No, because like I was hanging out with some dude I haven't seen since like elementary school.
No! So, like,
I knew it wasn't for real.
Oh, in the dream.
Like, yeah.
Oh.
I was like, damn, I got stabbed. That's crazy.
It's probably what's his name? Stevie Dio?
No, it was just
I feel like you would get stabbed with him.
Some
and
random
it might be his
dude.
Fault.
I gave this dude money and he got mad because he thought it was insulting. And then like he fucking threw the money in my friend's face. And then they were fighting. I tried to pull him off and some other dude ran by and stabbed me in like my kidney.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's a fucked up dream.
I have a lot of weird fucking dreams.
Have you seen anything?
I started watching Sabrina. It's fun. It's silly.
Yeah.
Those are so loud, dude. You're going to chew those so loud. It's yeah. Like in a movie theater when you eat a chip and you're trying to chew as slow as possible.
Jesus Christ. Sabrina.
Sabrina, it's fun. I just had the realization. I'm like, damn, this is just like 90210, but with like witches.
It's be witches,
like,
man.
It's just like a shitty like high school drama, but with witches.
Which is okay.
It's fun. That's all I care about.
I feel like it's more Saved by the Bell with witches.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. And I started watching What We Do in the Shadows. It's fun. It doesn't quite capture the charm of the movie.
Mm-hmm,
and like, I just keep wanting to see the characters from the original.
And you keep getting let down.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say let down. It's just like my needs aren't being met. And I might look for them to get them satisfied elsewhere. Yeah. And then I watched. So there's this new series called The Dark Side of the Ring. And it's about wrestling and like the bad stuff that's happened.
The ties to the mob and stuff like that. I heard about it.
So yeah, the first two episodes are just like the first one is Randy Savage and Elizabeth and like her drug addiction and how she died mysteriously and stuff. And the second one is just nothing special. But the third one, the killing of Bruiser Brody, like that's straight true crime shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you guys would dig it. And then like they released episode three before anything else as like a sneak preview. And that one is really dark, really true crime. The first two aren't anything like that third one. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest for people who may not like wrestling, watch episode 3. It's on Viceland, called The Dark Side of the Ring, The Killing of Bruiser Brody. And then if you like the documentary, then I mean, it's a mini documentary. You can watch the other episodes and get like another interesting story about wrestling. But the next one coming out is about the Von Erichsons, a family who were notoriously bad people. So that should be a pretty interesting.
Why are you such a bad episode. People?
And then I watched a movie called The Basement, and it was fucking terrible. It was on Netflix. See, this is why I don't like Netflix's new algorithm, because it's like 95% match for you. And I'm like, all right, well.
That thing's never been reliable.
Well, yeah, but then it's like the description said something along the lines of somebody who loves to torture their victims, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, cool, torturing. I'll check it out. And like.
Cool, torture.
It's the only thing torturous was watching that fucking movie.
Yowza.
It was some guy gets kidnapped. And then there's a creepy clown who starts to do tortury things to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clown leaves and just keeps coming back as different people. So it felt like a
character.
Yeah. So it felt like a character reel for somebody trying to show the different parts that they could play. But like the movie ultimately was boring.
That sounds kind of interesting.
Well, he was trying to convince the dude that he kidnapped that he was actually a murderer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he came back as like a cop and then a detective and then like a judge and then a fucking priest and like all this other shit. But it was not good.
Anything else?
No.
So I know that we're going to be talking about this next week.
Right.
But Ronnie and I started watching Black Summer.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be a prequel to Z Nation, correct?
We're in the same universe.
I think so. The same universe. Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Man, I got to tell you. I have not been excited about zombies in a really, really long time. And this show has done
that.
It's not doing anything. There's nothing new, right? Not reinventing the wheel, man. But they are creating these really well-rounded creatures, characters. same thing. Am I right? But it's a really so we are 3 episodes in, and so far I am super hyped on this series.
Okay,
and very excited to finish it.
Did you watch Z Nation at all?
I've seen some of it.
Okay,
this is so much better.
Okay, Alia watched a bunch of
it's exciting. It's damn near exciting is what I want to say.
One thing I thought was really clever about Z Nation was zombie starts with a Z, so they're like Z Nation.
Shit.
And then, like, there's, like, World War Z. And they're like, zombie starts with a Z. Put World War Z.
Rhett's like, more like D-Nation.
Yeah. Well,
saw it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. You're saying that it's, like, my thing's no more sophisticated than them starting their movie with a Z because the zombie starts with a Z.
Correct.
Right. Okay, that's true.
Got him.
I'm also saying that I didn't realize it, but I grabbed the hot end of this toothpick, and I really hope I don't touch my eyes.
Don't touch your dick.
Don't touch the dick either. Yeah. That'll get you.
Yeah.
Personal story over here. I'll tell you later.
Been there.
So, yeah, that's a good series. I'm excited to talk to you guys about it because I think it's really fun and they're doing some cool stuff.
And that means we get to watch 5 hours of programming in 1 week.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I've already started.
That sounds fun.
I have a head start, so I'm excited.
Do you know how much wrestling I watch in a week?
Wrestling.
What's interesting about it is that it's tough for me to watch like 3 hours of content in one go, but that shit went.
But you'll watch an Avengers movie in 3 hours in one go.
I'll watch a lot of shit.
You'll watch a lot of
damn. Yeah. I watched Edge of Tomorrow the other night, and I was like, "This is the best is movie ever." Is that long? It's not that long, but it's like I'll just watch random
about 2 hours flat.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
A good slick.
It's as long as it should be. It's like perfect. I mean, maybe an extra 15 minutes could have been shaved there, but that's about.
Give me more. Give me another 30 minutes.
Of Emily Blunt kicking ass?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'll go with that.
Rhett, what about you, dude?
I haven't watched a damn thing aside from, I had mentioned, Fran, my girlfriend, she had never seen Star Wars, even though she's a pretty dorky.
Talked about that.
Yeah, but we watched Empire finally, Empire Strikes Back. And yeah, that was really, it's really nice. Empire Strikes Back.
Best of the series.
It still is.
Were you guys at like a karate tournament yesterday?
We were. Yeah, I was at her daughter. Her daughter.
You got kids now, Red?
It was a jiu-jitsu thing.
Her daughter. Yeah. Well, yeah.
My little cousins were there.
Were they?
Yeah. One of my cousins took a gold medal at that shit.
Yeah, her daughter is this tiny little thing. She's in second grade.
Probably fucked her up.
And, well, no, excuse me? No, I'm just kidding. No, but her daughter's in second grade and she fucking kicks ass. She knows how to distribute her weight.
You fought her yet?
No. Not yet.
Did you take her little bitch ass down?
Well, I'd probably just throw her. You know what I mean? I wouldn't really go there. I wouldn't get technical.
If you had to kill a toddler, what would be like?
Oh, dude.
Just break the neck. That's my go-to anyway.
I would kick him in the ceiling. Gouge eyes, break neck. Fan.
That like, ceiling fan wouldn't kill him, though.
If you kick him hard enough,
well, it'd be the kick that would kill him.
Yeah, I mean, and how big of a toddler are we talking? Wait, that's like two, right? One?
Well, toddler, I think...
How old is a toddler?
I think Quinn is still a toddler.
She's what, like three?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, if like you kick Quinn...
No, it's like a two-year-old.
If you kick Quinn into a ceiling fan, but if it's a really fast-spinning metal ceiling
fan... Like one of those big-ass fans at like fucking Urban Pizza.
Because like when you play the fucking Sims, if you have the extreme violence mod put on, you can like...
Of course.
You can punch and kick toddlers and children. So like kicking a toddler and watching it go up into the sky is really fucking funny.
Yeah.
I have a murderous Sim world. It's fucking great.
It was okay, she's got three kids. The other one, her son, David, he does soccer and baseball. So my Saturdays, in between work, I do this stuff at work in the morning, then I go to a soccer game and a baseball game, then back to work in the evening. That's how Saturdays look, right? But this Saturday, there was no soccer game, no baseball game, but it was this karate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or not karate, jiu-jitsu. But it's pretty cool, because when I noticed that these kids, when they lose, a lot of them cried. You know, like a lot of them were bawling.
Sounds like my kind of entertainment.
Well, because that's what I mean. I was like, part of me is, oh, this fucking, how cruel.
Red's like, oh, little bitch.
No, but then the coach like embraces them and says they do a good job and they hug them and then they like move on with their life. And it's like, wow, they learn to fucking lose.
They embrace
like you need to fucking learn to lose.
And hug them and tell them if you're not first, you're last.
That didn't stop me from like saying to a friend, like, how you like that, bitch? You know what I mean?
And then, your daughter lost, bitch.
And then I'm like, hey, can I say like Mortal Kombat stuff? Because no one's been here and said that. I'm the first guy to say this. Fuck, finish him. Finish him. Like, I suck.
I'm the first guy.
Yeah. No, but then there's some dudes there. You know that look on a guy's face where he's not like super big or buff, but he has that look on his face where his eyebrows are like... a little bit arched.
He's
and
like,
just,
are we good?
He's looking at you like, I will fucking destroy you.
Yeah, well, dude.
Just all calm.
The majority of the jiu-jitsu guys, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Like,
I can see it on their fucking face.
I hung out with jiu-jitsu guys recently.
Steve is not a jiu-jitsu guy.
No, not Steve. And despite their stature, dude, those guys will fuck you up, dude.
Right.
Jiu-jitsu is a hell of a drug.
Yeah. No, you could see, and there's this kind of a. I could see it in the, like, you know, Fran's like, why do you keep looking at everybody? Because I like people watching.
You were trying to get hard, huh?
I was trying to get what I could.
Flexing on the dude. Like,
well, I wanted to get. I mean, there's kids around, and it made me uncomfortable.
There's kids around, so I wanted to fight.
Yeah. He's
like, you gotta show them who's boss.
Yeah, so.
You should have just walked up and pissed on him and just claimed your territory.
You can see how these guys walk. These guys walk around like, yeah, I got this, yeah. It's like, goddamn.
Well, then you just tell them like, oh, I walk this way because I've got this, and then just flop it out. They'll just back down.
Or just show them some of your gym selfies. Well,
what I started doing was just like thinking
his non-sweaty gym selfies.
Show them how Thanos you are.
I just started thinking like,
also,
there's all these different arenas in life, and that's just one arena. Like, they don't know this.
They
don't have like the secret knowledge.
And you were literally at an arena.
Hell yeah.
Fuck, dude, that's too many layers deep.
Red, well, it was metaphorical, dude. And literal.
Damn, bitch.
That's right. You're right. Shit. Different arenas. I didn't fucking man.
You should be a wrestler, Rhett.
Wow, man.
Right? Rhett the wrestler.
I'm 37 years old, dude.
Still, dude, you can do indie.
Yeah.
Did you just flex your chest?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You dickhead.
Can they hear that on the fucking mic?
You hear the wind. Just
clack, 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 clack.
Oh, man. What any news, Matthew?
Shudder acquired Tigers Are Not Afraid,
the movie. Good.
Yeah, the movie that Ollie loved from Telluride Horror Show last year. And we went to Mexico and bought the DVD, but guess what? There's no English subtitles, so I can't watch it. So
no se puede.
Yeah, I'll have to wait until it comes out on Shudder, which is going to be soon.
That's
probably
cool as shit.
Because it doesn't ever take very long for anything to come out on Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hella Q.
Yeah, dude.
What else? Disney delayed the New Mutants with no new release date.
Aha.
I was really looking forward to that movie.
Okay, so you guys understand. Well, it's not just that. That's the last of the 20th Century Fox X-Men films. It was a problematic production anyway because they wanted to cater it to the horror market. Then they wanted to make it more comedic. But Disney, having acquired 20th Century Fox, that means they now have the rights to X-Men. They're going to, look, they're going to fucking reboot that.
Mm-hmm.
And they should reboot that because there's 20 years of fucking ridiculous, stupid continuity at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the only one they're not rebooting wisely is Deadpool, and which makes sense because you can throw Deadpool. He's aware he's in a movie anyway, so he'd be like, oh.
We've been rebooted?
Yeah, I could. Oh, he's like, oh, I'm in this universe now. Cool. Yeah. You guys weren't in the other place. You know, they can do whatever they want with him anyway.
Yeah.
He can be kind of the bridge.
That gets me a little sad.
Yeah.
It does get me sad, though, but I'm not surprised.
I actually wanted to see that movie. I haven't been excited about any of those. Except for Deadpool, I haven't been excited about any of those superhero movies.
The Dark Phoenix trailer looks like total horseshit.
Absolutely. Why did you do that? Yeah. Every time I see it, I get mad, dude.
That whole bit where she goes, no. A better question is, who are you? What?
Yeah.
The fuck? What? Anywho.
They'll probably do a streaming thing. That's my, I would imagine they'll probably.
Smart. Yeah, I mean, especially if it's already made.
Give it to Shudder.
Well, you know what? And then.
No, they're going to put it on their own
Disney
platform.
Plus.
Yeah, which is smart.
Did you guys see the pricing?
My wife's going to make me have to get that anyway.
It's only $6.99, dude.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
No, Alia wants that so bad.
Because
there's a new season of Star Wars The Clone Wars on there.
Right. And, that's the thing. I've talked to a few people and they're like, oh, I'm not going to get that. It's like, dude, how the fuck would you. You have like Netflix and Shudder. Like, sorry, you probably
are. Are they
going to
put the racist version of Song of the South on there?
I would even, if it were me and I was choosing, I would probably stop Netflix for a while.
Fuck no.
And jump over to the Disney thing.
Why? There's not going to be any horror on there. There's not going to be any anime on Disney.
They have all 20th Century Fox content now, too.
How much horror is on Netflix that's decent anyway?
The best thing about Netflix now, and that's the way they wanted it, is their original programming.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can catch up with that later.
And none of it's been great.
Not recently, I'd agree.
Not recently, I mean.
Well, I mean, Haunting of Hill House was pretty fucking good.
Sabrina's pretty good.
I want that new season of Money Heist. Like, that I'm looking forward to. That show is really fucking good.
Yeah, it's literally becoming, instead of, you know, as there were channels before, now there's different streaming services. So instead of paying $150 a month for cable, eventually you'll pay $150 a month cumulative for a bunch of different streaming services.
Yeah, but then you can pick what you want.
I agree with the model.
The only upshot of that, as long as they don't cram this shit full of commercials, then you're still winning by, you know.
Well, and like Matt said, you're watching what you want when you want.
Yeah. Well, the fact that like I pay $5 for Shudder, and Shudder has been around for like, I don't know, five years or so, and they have not raised their prices, and it's
Shudder,
all horror
Shudder
content.
Is basically like, if you haven't signed up to Shudder by now, that's like that's like a soda.
When you're a horror fan.
A month.
Yeah.
It's such a stupid, easy decision to make.
I would totally plug Shudder. That. Yeah, you know. Because I didn't get that till I started with you guys last year around this time. And then it's been a year, dude. It's coming up on a year.
Thankfully, like Shudder has fixed their streaming problems, because it was almost better to get it through Amazon for a while, because you would pay $5 anyways. But anytime Shudder wouldn't work, you could stream things on
Amazon.
And even some stuff that had been taken off Shudder was still available on Amazon free with the Shudder subscription.
Yeah.
But I imagine Amazon gets a cut of that $5 then. So. Yeah.
No, dude, Shudder is hands down the best deal going in streaming for horror fans. I mean, it's an unbelievable value.
I agree.
Yeah, you get to watch movies like Terrified and
it's actually made me appreciate the entire genre more.
Yeah.
Like seriously, it's very comprehensive. It covers all sorts of shit. They have like classic stuff. They have obscure stuff. They have some fucking, you know, garbage ass B-rated stuff that's awesome. The original content's pretty fucking good.
You mean like Bloodsucking Freaks, dude?
Bloodsucking Freaks is awesome. I don't think it's on Shudder, though.
The exclusive content they get, like they got, you know, like Revenge last year, and then they got the exclusive streaming rights to Mandy, even though it wasn't made.
That's all he wanted to mention was Mandy.
Revenge and Mandy. I'm good.
Dude.
Yeah. They had, like, worth it.
They had Mon Mon.
Pay $5 a month just
for the rest of
movies.
My life.
They had Mon Monsters. In
that's
that
a good movie,
really,
man. Did you watch, it was Mon Monsters, and then the other one that Dread Central put out, fuck, it was the other Korean film.
Zombology.
Zombology. That is a fucking hootenanny,
dude. I have not seen that one.
If you want to talk about a humdinger, that thing is
that's a callback right
hootenanny,
there.
Hootenanny, humdinger.
It's a callback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's for those old school listeners.
Yeah, I got asked why we don't review Dread Central movies the other night.
who asked that question?
Christine,
you won't hear this. But the reason why we don't review Dread Central movies is I feel like we need to have a certain amount of distance from those films.
I'm going to be 100% honest. It's because I don't like most of those films.
Well, that's okay, and that's fair. I just think that...
Mama told me to keep my mouth shut.
It's the same reason why I don't like to talk about Lauren Ashley Carter's movies on this show too much, is because, like, I feel like because we're friends with her, my opinion is not going to be totally unbiased.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that, like, Dread Central's got a knife to our throat to review these movies well, but I want to remove myself from that silliness
if
altogether.
If the movies are going to fail, I don't want to be part of the reason why.
Yeah, and we'll tell you about the ones we love. Like, we fucking, you know.
Terrifier was the shit.
Terrifier was, has been a slam dunk for those guys.
And I only talked so much shit
You've
about Director's Cut because
guys.
I paid for it.
Huh?
What?
All right, moving on. Any other news?
Danzig is directing a Vampire Spaghetti Western.
Oh, I'm out.
Fuck.
Out.
Oh,
Vampire
God.
Spaghetti Western. Come on. It's like.
They already did that.
Dust Till Dawn, but Danzig.
Out.
From Dust Till Danzig.
Or John Carpenter's Vampires.
From Danzig to Dust.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this. From Dust Till Dawn is overrated.
I think I think you're wrong. And I think we should do the Danzig movie when it comes out.
It's the best thing in that movie, and I'm just going to go straight there.
What?
Is Salma Hayek.
What?
Okay, hold on.
He'll agree with me.
While I disagree with his overall sentiment, I agree with that statement.
Yeah.
The best part about that movie is 100% Salma Hayek and her sexy snake
dance. Most of the time
when
Salma Hayek isn't in a movie, she's the best part.
Here's another thing. That film is best before the vampires, when it's like the characters in the fucking RV with Harvey Keitel and Tarantino.
It's
like a suspense film, and
debatable,
it's working well.
But I agree.
And then they get to the bar, and it's cool, and then the dance happens, and everything after the dance is just a rush to get to the fucking predictable ending, and you can suck it. And Tarantino is Clooney's brother.
Is that a vampire
fuck
pun,
off.
Dude? Is that a vampire pun?
Suck off. Fuck off. What did I say?
You said suck it.
Suck it.
You know, he
suck
was probably
good,
only in that movie so he could suck Salma Hayek's toes. Because he's got like a crazy fucking foot fetish.
Tarantino, him and fucking Robert Rodriguez are chums, pals.
Yeah, but it doesn't have anything to do with him putting Salma Hayek's foot in his mouth.
No, but that's God, fucking
I mean,
great. Isn't that great?
It's like,
goddamn.
He should be hashtagged me too for that.
I would.
No,
put,
like, he shouldn't.
But at the same time, it's fucking Salma Hayek.
I would put Harvey Keitel's foot in my mouth if immediately afterwards I could have Salma Hayek's foot in my mouth.
Yeah.
I'd be in.
Yeah, I agree.
Anywho, moving on.
kind of just
little mini episode there.
took me by surprise. Capcom is hinting at remaking Resident Evil 3, which...
As they should. I think they should go through and remake all
part 4, the best one.
Dude, nope. They've done part 4 1,000 times.
Because it's the best one?
You know how many different versions of Resident Evil
right,
4
right,
remastered
right, right.
That,
I'm not
that
even a huge
I
gamer,
personally
I
own? Yeah. I personally own like 5 different versions.
Never mind.
Yeah.
That game's the shit,
it's
though.
It's always been remade.
What are you buying?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's great.
What are you
great.
Buying?
What are you selling?
Yeah, that guy's cool.
I fucking
he's
love
like,
that.
Dude, he's like the fucking Symphony of the Night guy when he goes, like you.
Did you ever see...
you know, you don't
what
know
was
about
it?
That shit.
About Resident Evil 4?
No, about Symphony of the Night.
Did you ever watch
Castlevania?
Mega 64?
Yeah, motherfucker.
You know about it, but you never played that game.
I beat that game.
Did you?
I got the emulator and beat it.
Ooh. Did you ever watch Mega 64?
Yeah. Like, I grew up with those guys.
Did you see the one they did with the, what are you buying?
Yeah.
What are you buying? That one was, love it. It's the best. But yeah, I'm really excited because part three was good. I think it was underrated. I just want Konami to redo the Silent Hill games because they deserve it.
It's about time.
I like one and two.
They deserve it.
In that
first
movie.
They deserve it.
Not so bad.
They deserve it. Yeah, wrestling chants.
Sugar.
What? Look at these claps.
The only other thing is your homegirl, Billie Eilish, did a video for You Should See Me in a Crown, and it's anime, and it's like very, I don't know, like it's kind of like The Fly at one point. It gets really fucking cool.
Look,
really
horror-y. There is no mystery to our love of pop music on this show.
That's true. We haven't talked about Taylor Swift in a long time.
I gotta tell you, man, that new Billie Eilish album, as much as people want to call her like an industry plant, and
I mean, believe that for sure.
And well, that still doesn't mean the album's not good, right?
I gotta tell you, it's that fucking album bangs, dude.
You bang, dude.
I bang to that album.
Yeah.
Have you?
Songs. On that album. No, it's really good, dude.
Snippets of songs.
Can you tell me what songs when I listen to it, I can think about you banging?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would. The one obviously the one where we were talking about.
He just
that's a sexy fucking song.
He tries to keep time to Tool songs. That's what he does.
Oh. That.
All 4/4 the whole time right there.
Ooh,
That's what I was calling
they,
for.
Hey, they took that. Never
you
mind.
Took
I'm
that,
not
dude.
That. I'm not
you
that.
Took that D, dude.
Damn.
Wow.
Damn, got him, dude.
D for disturbed. D.
Damn, got me.
Isn't dude. His name, too, like Damien something?
D for Godsmack, dude.
Damien Dilsnick. That's his name.
Yeah, but, dude, that Billie Eilish album, highly recommended.
All right.
Anything else, Matthew?
Danny is fucking tearing it up. Amigo the Devil everywhere right now with Dropkick Murphys, Clutch.
You heard it first on the Who Goes There podcast. He was our friend.
Yeah. We were there before any of you fucking dorks knew about him. So suck it. And that's our theme song. You know where you can get that recording? Nowhere.
Nowhere. Because it's lost.
Because it was recorded for the third episode of our show. And George is the only one who had it, and he refused to share it with me, and now it's gone forever.
Yeah, it might actually be gone.
I might have it somewhere.
No,
tucked
you
away.
Don't. You don't.
No, remember because you left your laptop at my house that one time, and I stole it off there. But my hard drive has crashed a few times, so
yeah,
I think those
recordings are dead.
Should have listened to me. Should have listened to me and released it to Patreon years ago.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, we'll be right back to talk about.
La 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 Llorona.
The revenge of my Llorona. My Llorona. For Easter too, dude.
My Bologna.
We'll be right back, idiots. Hey, Matthew.
Well, you gotta go when I got fucking Sour Patch Kids.
Guess what? You know what? Fuck you. Hey, Rhett, guess what?
What?
We're back! Yeah. Hey, since you had such an incredible delivery last time.
Wow. Yeah. How about you tell us all about the Patreon?
Patreon is where all of our lovely listeners, and those included who want to give us a couple bucks, can go. To give us a couple bucks. Whether you can give us a dollar or, well, you can't because King Sam is still King Sam.
Oh, they can choose to give us more than King Sam. They just won't get the perk that King Sam has.
If you would like to give us a dollar a month of your hard-earned money, we would greatly appreciate it. It helps keep the fucking wheels on this show a-rolling. My boy over here.
My boy.
Bastard from a basket.
Yeah. Ooh, we should watch that fucking movie.
That's a good movie.
Like every day.
You know, we're doing this, and like Matthew says, the show ain't expensive, but it sure ain't cheap.
There's no way I say it all.
That's really not what he says, is it?
That's what he says.
He says something like, the show is not free.
You like that? That
was, it's so kind of empty. A combination of two.
I love how empty it was.
But you also forgot to tell them that they can support us by going to patreon.com/
I was getting there, douchey.
All right. You got to bookend it. Because then they hear it and they're like, wait, what was that address again? And you're like, that address again.
It's called a callback. That name again is Mr. Plow.
You know, that Bill Howe song gets stuck in my head all the fucking time.
I like when Homer sings that Mr. Plow song right before he's about to plow fucking Marge.
Because that name again is Mr. Plow.
Oh, homie.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's dude, when did your Marge impression get so good?
That was that good? Yeah. That was not good.
Say it again.
Oh, homie.
Oh, my God, dude.
Go figure, huh?
I
could channel Marge Simpson.
But anywho, go to patreon.com/whogoesherpodcast for all of your extra podcasty money disposal needs. Oh boy. The Who Goes Here podcast watched 2019's The Curse of La Llorona. Directed by Michael Chavez, produced by James Wan, Gary Dauberman, and Emily Gladstone.
Like Joey Gladstone?
Joey Bag of Donuts. Starring Linda Cardellini, Roman Cristau, Janie Lynn Kinchin, Raymond Cruz, Marisol Kinchin. Ramirez, Patricia Velasquez, Sean Patrick Thomas, Tom Amendola, Irene Kang, Oliver Alexander, Aiden Lewandowski, Paul Rodriguez, John Marshall Jones.
Stop making fun of Hispanic people, eh?
Huh, dog.
I want to
be Mexican to make that kind of joke.
I want to start. See what I did there. I want to start this off. And
come on, dude.
I want to say this. My Mexicanness does not define me. First off.
Dumb,
dude.
That's because there's not enough of it, dude.
Yeah.
There's
not enough to go around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tex-Mex, motherfucker.
I fuck.
Come on.
Fuck this movie, dude.
And the thing that
fucks me up about this movie is I have seen some like semi-positive reviews on this movie, like, oh, it's not so bad.
It's got like a fucking 32%. So yeah, there's some
32%.
And I
still that's not
accurate.
Got him.
Damn,
is this movie one of the worst things that we have ever seen?
Whoa. Wow.
Ever.
Brett, what did you think?
Movie, I really, really enjoyed this film because it fucking was not good. I enjoy this kind of thing. Just like George just sent me a screenshot. I saw this in Dolby.
Me too.
Because I got that, you know, we have that AMC A-list thing. So it's like, fuck it.
Might as well get the most expensive ticket. We're doing it live.
And I did this for The Nun. I saw it in Dolby because it's got the surround sound.
I do it for The Nuns too.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm going to see this movie, this bad movie, in the most immersive way possible. When they do a jump scare, I want to have a physiological response.
You want it to be visceral.
Yeah, I want to get pissed while I get my body like tries to respond to the surround sound. And you know what? One point in this movie was so fucking loud, dude. Like, the fucking house was shaking, and it was
your
like...
Your seat's going nuts.
Yeah, and I saw, like, people getting significantly worried about how loud it was. I'm like, damn, that's a good fucking film experience right there. Why do you need characters or that you care about or anything, like, original? Or why do you need anything when you could just, like,
shake
have people...
Shake the shit out of people.
Just shake fucking people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie's not good. It's like, Well, you know what else too? It's like an hour and a half. Like, Wreck-It Ralph 2 is longer than this fucking movie.
It is. That doesn't mean anything, though.
Oh, well, it means that's how little movie they had. And I'm glad it was an hour and a half, because I wouldn't be able to stand another 15, 30 minutes of it. But they had, it was so slight. They had nothing. They're like, we got to get to the fucking guy who will help them with the fucking weird shit.
Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
Okay, I'm pumping the brakes.
Matt Smith?
I actually really enjoyed it.
No, you didn't.
I thought it was well acted. I thought it was inspired. I thought it was not derivative at all.
Totally original. I mean,
like, this is Easter, right? So we're supposed to say things that never happened.
You're making a Catholic joke.
This movie, dude, like, I want to be so mad at it, but I can't. Like, you know what this movie is? I don't know if you guys have to do instructional videos for work, but I have to watch the same fucking videos literally every year.
That was this movie, but like,
that's what it felt like. An hour and a half of watching something I've seen 1,000 times and feeling literally no emotion for it at all. This may be the worst movie we've watched, not because of how bad it is, but just because of how little I give a fuck.
And also how self-serious it is, dude. Like, there's nothing in this movie that says to me, like,
they're... Any of these people are Mexican?
Oh, fuck.
They picked the most fucking pocho Mexicans, dude. Like, nobody in here has an accent.
We will get into this garbage dump of a movie in terms of, like, the cultural aspects of it in just a moment. Because I
like, I know homeboy's name is Michael Chavez, but he's the whitest fucking Michael Chavez.
Chihuahua was this movie.
Simon.
Essay.
Hey,
yeah.
It sounds like I'm going to jump right now. I always like Raymond Cruz as an actor.
He's not bad.
He's fucking Tuco.
You ever get your shit pushed in? Yeah. Tuco was like the one good part of this movie. Like, acting wise, everyone else is like whatever. And I saw Tuco. I'm like, oh, Tuco, not you, dude.
Hey,
like,
even his two little comedic moments that he had when
ta-da,
or when they're asking him like, was that like you were using us for bait? No.
He just said, yeah bitch.
Out of the bullshit lines in this movie, he delivered them easily. He brings the most to them. Like, that's what I mean. I'm not going to hate on him. Like, that.
Here's my biggest fucking issue.
Real quick, you're talking about him, and the comedy in this felt way more authentic than in Us. Because I bought that from his character, because he seemed like that kind of character that might have the kind of, like, joke under pressure nature. I didn't get that from anyone in Us, so when they made those jokes...
I think you get thrown off in Us because of it's so self-aware. I think the self-awareness makes it feel awkward to you.
No, because Us was super serious, so when there was jokes and comedy in it, it felt really ill-placed. The only person that ever made anything like a joke is the dad, and it was an appropriate situation. Everything else was bad, but Tuco's jokes... You don't know his character well enough, and it's like, okay, well, maybe he's a little bit sarcastic. Maybe he a little bit coney. Maybe he a little bit honey. Yeah.
Dude, right off the fucking bat, when they're trying to, and here's the thing. So they do this thing where they show you the story of La Llorona.
Oh yeah, that intro.
That intro is
Bartolo.
Is something. Mama. Is fucking something else, man.
A lot of bad slow motion.
Was there slow motion?
Oh, dude, they used slow motion, this motherfucker.
Slow motion for me.
Yeah.
And not only that, dude, like, they retell the story so poorly in the beginning that they have to give you an info dump about halfway through the movie about the curse of La Llorona and why she wants to kill children.
Yeah, you're right, because it wasn't even coherent what happened at the beginning. Dude, they showed you for no reason.
Yeah, they showed you for no reason.
And either, it was badly done.
Either show the actual story in the very beginning, or just give me the whole info dump in the middle, and that's it.
Also, it's a very ineffective opener, because if you're trying to, like, grab me in the opener, like you're saying, first and foremost, I need to know what the fuck happened. That wasn't clear.
Nope, not at all.
That was not clear at all whatsoever. Yeah,
and for the uninformed of y'all that haven't grown up in a Mexican household.
I love that you said y'all before you're about to explain.
Hey, y'all, because I grew up in Santee, y'all. The idea behind La Llorona is, so she is like the most beautiful woman in this town.
Homeboy comes into the town.
They get married. They have kids. Everything's going great until she catches him fucking a younger woman.
It's like Dude, he's a fucking ranchero. What do you expect?
And so her grief...
You know what they did? Rode horses and fucked chicks.
So her grief is so deep that she decides to take her children from this world so that nothing can hurt them. That's sort of the idea, is that she doesn't want anything worse to happen to them, so she takes...
No, I thought it was that she wanted to take, like, what he valued the most, which was his kids.
No.
Well, and also, to me, like, it makes sense, like, she sees him in them.
That's part of it. And so she kills the two kids, and her grief is so great that she then looks, you know, she looks to other children.
She's like, fuck what we made together, and fuck the whole fucking situation on this planet.
Yeah, basically.
I'm going to drown these bitches.
And I don't think that you ever really get the idea that she's like, she's grief stricken. I just think that she's like, I'm out for revenge, bitch.
Or just like, hey, I don't like my fucking kids.
You just got stuff, bitch.
You just got your own hood, motherfucker.
Okay, so now that, like, I mean, the story of La Llorona is a spoiler in itself, I guess.
It's not a complicated story, to be, to be 100%.
But that leads me to the one part of the movie that I actually liked. When the priest is talking to the mom and explaining the story of La Llorona, because apparently she's Mexican and has never heard it, which makes no fucking sense. Because Mexican parents use La Llorona as a threat, the way that my mom used the Goonies.
Or the Boogeyman.
Not the Goonies.
The Goonies.
Were they?
Which honestly,
the Gogans from Pete's Dragon.
She used to
tell me the Gogans lived over the hill and they would come and fucking take me if I was bad or if
these guys were fucking jerks.
Yeah, the Gogans were fucking gross.
If anything, for Mexicans growing up, I don't think that it was so much Llorona, it was El Cucuy.
Can you not say it that way?
Sorry, dog. I can't.
Llorona?
You can't say it like that? You can't roll your R's?
Dude, you're Mexican, dude. You know how to say it.
Is he?
That's what I'm saying. You're trying a little too hard.
I'm the whitest guy here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You are the whitest guy here.
But
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, you're one of the whitest guys I know, actually. White.
But he grew up in the nasty, dude.
Yeah, I grew up in Chula, which is closer to Mexico.
No, I don't mean National City. I mean, like, he grew up in the nasty parts of Chula Vista.
Oh, I grew up in the nice-ass rich part of Chula Vista.
Dude. Rhett was slumming it up on F Street.
D Street.
D Street. Flower
Street. Oh, the D! You lived on Flower Street?
Right next to Flower. Castleman.
One of the weirdest experiences of my life. I was walking down...
Uh-oh.
No, I mean, it's nothing like super crazy, but like, I was walking down...
Some naked guy run up to you.
Some guy fucked me!
No, so... Do you remember Silver Q?
Yeah, of course.
So
I picked up a lot of acid there.
Me, Stevie Dio, and Victor used to always hang out at Silver Q. And so we were walking down 3rd Avenue, like after everything was closed down. And this cop car pulls up right next to us and goes, hey, any of you live on Flower Street? And we're like, no, dude. And he goes, oh, okay, and drives off. And like, you know, now he's probably just looking for like a missing kid or something. But like for us, that was really weird. We're like, what if that's like some weird fucking Illuminati sex slang, you know, like maybe you live on Flower Street.
You
like
ever, I'm going to deflower you. On Deflower Street, dude?
Yeah.
Have you ever been deflowered?
Wait, so I didn't mention my favorite part. So when the... Yeah,
you went on your own shitty tangent.
I did. So
I like it.
When... When the
I'm like on an island all by myself, and it's like, dude, I got this whole place to myself.
He interrupted himself and then was like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. So when the priest is talking and explaining the story of La Llorona.
Y'all, fuck that story. Like,
wait, no, he's like, so she drowned her kids in the river. But like when you see it, the river is like 6 inches of water.
Oh, and then she...
Then he's like, and she was so grief-stricken that she flung herself into those very waters. And I'm like, I picture her just flinging her body and just laying in this water being like, I can't drown myself in this.
She pulls a fucking Men in Tights where she's like, I'm drowning.
It was like a creek. It was like 6 inches of water. And I'm like, she flung herself into it.
Yeah, dude. That shit was fucking...
And then she's like, oh, damn it. Now I'm all wet. And
that
went home.
That shit was cuckoo fucking bananas, dude. the craziest thing... one of the craziest things is that like the main character... What's her name? Linda Cardellini.
Cardellini. She's the chick in Grandma's Boy.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Her character is...
Which chick in Grandma's Boy?
The fucking, you know... The one,
no.
The one doing salt and pepper at the party, all sexy time and shit. The chick.
Okay, cool.
The only chick in that fucking movie.
So her character is supposed to be a CPS.
Oh God, I love that they did that.
That dude,
she's a social worker and shit.
She's a social worker, right? And so her like our intro to her is basically she's been, you know, getting cases taken away from her because, like, oh, you know, she's a mom and, you know,
her husband's dead.
Her husband's dead and we just want to give you time away, you know, more time with your family and this and that. And I go,
holy shit. That's her. Yeah, her as a blonde, like, it looks nothing like she does in this movie.
Yeah, there's a part there where she wears, like, a little tight shirt and the bell-bottom thing at the end that she looks fucking...
Oh, so maybe she does do nude. I kept thinking, like, oh, she's not going to be nude on the internet because she's, like, some unknown Mexican actress.
She's probably...
She doesn't even look Mexican.
She...
Cardellini. She's probably Cardellini. Italian. She's probably Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting her off as a Mexican. No wonder she sounded white as fuck.
Well, she was a vague Latina.
I honestly think the director was too white to fucking to direct this
movie. Well, what they're trying to do is they want to exploit the Latin market while not alienating the Midwest.
While we were watching this, you know what I was thinking? Is this is Paranormal Activity Los Mariachis. That's all this is.
But even that movie felt more... here's the thing. There's nothing about this movie that feels Latino.
Except Marta.
Or respectful or authentic.
There's fucking... Dude, there's no world building. There is zero fucking Mexican DNA except for me in this, like, in the seats.
Dude, like, so when she's putting her kids in the closet
like
later...
That, like what I did there?
Yeah, that's good.
And she's telling them to sit. I was thinking, like, why aren't they infusing Spanish in here? Like, why isn't she saying, like, siétete, like, sit, you know, like... And telling them things to do in Spanish. Because, I mean, my mother-in-law speaks perfectly fine English, but, like, she mixes her English and her Spanish all the time.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, as Mexicans growing up in, you know, California, we do that a lot. Like, we mix up a lot of what we're saying. So, yeah, dude, the lack of Spanglish is jarring because it's filmed in Los Angeles. So it's not like it's too far cry from like it's not done in Wisconsin. Like if the Llorona movie was done in like
Green Bay. It's on purpose, man. It's intentional, absolutely. The only reason they wouldn't do it is because they don't want to fucking dude. Like again, they want to exploit the Latin market, right?
Which without being too dangerous.
Not even dangerous. Most people in the Midwest. That's why a lot of the posters in the Midwest. It says the curse of the wailing woman. That's they don't even true. Want to say La Llorona because there are
Mexicans.
People, yeah, fuck that. Mexicans. Fuck that shit. If you're going to have a Mexican, I don't want a Mexican and name.
That's the problem with most of the actors and actresses in this movie. You know, there's a... I can't remember. I've been reading an article, but there's this woman who's like Indian Mexican who's...
The Midwest.
Got voted... one of the most beautiful people in the world. And there was a lot of controversy about how she's like a Mexican looking Mexican and how a lot of these like whiter looking Mexicans are getting all of the acting roles because they're more palatable for the Midwest.
Yeah, sure.
And like that really made this movie fucking awful.
First off, dude,
I agree. Well,
this movie fails on the front of not being
it's appealing based, to every lowest common denominator.
It's not based in Mexico, so I'm immediately
¿Por qué?
I'm immediately on guard because why have it based in LA? It doesn't help me as a viewer, as a casual viewer. It certainly doesn't help me as like a of Mexican American descent be like, "Oh yeah, like I you know, this feels authentic."
Yeah.
Even as a white guy growing up in a very Mexican neighborhood, this does not feel authentic.
Dude, the fucking the sarape has been pulled completely off of this movie. There is zero Mexicanness in this movie, and I don't necessarily need the fucking characters to be like, I don't know, she was in the church, and then I felt it on my hand, and then I felt it on my fingers.
But there was nothing.
And then I had it, I saw her, and she in the window, and then the windows came down, and I don't need that, but fuck, man, like.
No, the broader, like, not just the authenticity, but the feeling of. If you're basing this on lore and on an urban myth, So like the world building is like done for you. Like you can, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I know this is not a horror movie, but look at a movie like Coco. It's a Pixar movie. It's animated. It feels fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it feels super authentic without being pandering.
Yeah. Without being pandering, even the individuals who are not Mexican, they're understanding that they're representing a culture. Like, they did their fucking, like, they're like, we need to represent this accurately.
Yeah.
Because that's the world building.
Yeah.
That's the world this film takes place
in. So speaking of world building, can we all agree that this is essentially a Conjuring movie?
It is.
Well, they even showed Annabelle in this motherfucker.
It's the same goddamn formula. It's just like, okay, copy paste story, replace white people with white looking Mexicans or Mexican looking white people.
I'll go you one further. You're saying that it's like copy paste concept. I will say that it is copy paste scenes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, I agree.
So I
would say that the first like
nun in this is like fucking whoa.
You take the first 15 minutes of this film and repeat it for an hour and a half. And that's what you've got.
So I had the thought while this actually, so like, as you can see, I got this enormous pimple on my forehead.
I've been looking at it.
Yeah, dude, it's gnarly. So
is that the mark of La Llorona?
So most of this movie, all I could keep thinking about was the joy that I got when I put the metal to this and this exploded this morning.
When you put the like, fucking pedal to the metal.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like that's, this movie was so... had no weight
when he left was the parking non-threatening
lot. Just that's all my brain kept going to, and I forgot my point. Goddamn alcohol.
Well, it seems like your brain would fall out of that thing.
Yeah, it's pretty enormous. I forgot my point because I'm drinking, and that's what happens when I drink.
Drinking,
but you gotta
toe the line. You gotta go like between like.
Don't tell me
being entertaining.
Don't tell me
and
what
forgetting
to do.
Things.
See, because that's the thing is I'm entertaining when I forget things.
That's right. That's right.
And then, like, my idiocy with Rhett's autism,
it's
a perfect storm of stupidity.
It's true. And you're over there, you just rein things in.
Yeah.
You're just the
He just... used to call himself Jorge keeping it on the rails Gonzalez.
I didn't call myself that.
Yes, you did.
I was given that nickname.
Rhett,
yeah, he gets up in the morning and he does, like, affirmations, like... Yeah. Good morning, Jorge. Keeping it on the rails, Gonzalez.
Yeah.
You're gonna keep it on the rails
good
today,
enough.
Okay, buddy?
I'm smart enough.
And doggone it, people love me.
Daggone it.
Yeah, man. I don't often feel insulted by movies, but fuck, dude.
There was not one taco in this movie.
Not a single taco.
Like, show a fucking taco truck. Did they even shoot this in L.A.? It didn't even feel like L.A.
I mean, it had Echo Park in
it. But it was supposed to be L.A.
I'm kidding about the taco thing, but not really, but kind of.
It was supposed to be L.A. in the 70s. On that note, Shaft trailer, I'm totally going to watch Shaft.
Hold up. Good point. 1973. Really, really, really not fucking detailed, not atmospheric recreation of time and place here.
No, yeah, dude, every now and again, I'm like, well, their outfit is weird. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is the 70s, right? Or like, why is their TV so shitty? I'm like, oh, wait, it's the 70s.
I kept expecting to flip, like, to drop out an iPhone. And I was like, oh, no, it's the wrong era. Because it's filmed,
dude.
It's filmed so fucking cleanly. And there is so much, like, there is so much of this, like, these wide shots of like LA, and it's like glitz and glamour, and you
those
see
those wide shots of LA look nice. They
were brilliant in terms of like
they were, you saw that, huh?
But
yeah, it doesn't matter though.
This is
it's out of place.
The fact that you mentioned Scooby-Doo.
As
that was happening, I had the thought like, oh, this girl's cool as fuck. Like, she's watching Scooby-Doo. And like, I thought it was like 2019 and she's just watching Scooby-Doo.
No, but that was like the stock thing to watch back then. Yeah, they're like trying to, that was their like feeble attempt. Like, oh, look at this, what's going on.
And I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with having this mom be a CPS caseworker.
I do.
Please.
Not a CPS caseworker who according to her is kick ass at her job, right? She's, you know, they're like, oh, my caseload and this and that, like, you can't be transferring it to this new
case
girl.
She doesn't, in your face,
she doesn't, she doesn't have 4 years of experience with them.
She's got a nice house for a CPS worker too.
It's well great. She's got a
it's
dead
the
cop sev-
yeah, it's the 70s
dead
as
cop.
Well
dead
yeah,
cop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll
life insurance hummy
fuck off.
Life insurance hummy
and, fucking social worker.
And meanwhile,
you're a
her kids
worker.
Are at home by themselves always.
Fuck yeah.
People didn't lock the doors back then.
73. No, okay. Look, man. Listen, man. No, wait, look, this film, I do not put it past it. My cynical understanding of this film and its reasons for things, I do not think is unrealistic, because the movie was made for, it's his lowest common denominator, make a quick buck, fucking, you know, exploit the fucking Latin market while not fucking alienating the fucking other lowest common denominator people. And anyway, the fact that they incorporated a character, she's a social worker. There's other, you know, her boyfriend. Wow. Well, not her boyfriend, the guy who comes over to the house.
The detective.
The yeah. detective dude. He's a black dude, et cetera, et cetera. They're obviously very much, and it makes their, the story comes from an ethnic thing. They're trying to cater to other ethnicities, and they're trying to exploit that. And it's like, we'll make her a social worker and a blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way,
that's racist.
It is. It's cynical. It's a cynical thing to do. However, that in and of itself, that doesn't mean it had to be bad. The movie happens to be awful.
Yeah.
Because those decisions, that decision, even if you made it for cynical reasons, you could execute the movie well.
Yeah, like
but the movie, her, but those have, are cynical reasons to do that. You know,
they have her as a Latina and a caseworker for CPS.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And her love interest is a black dude. And, like, you know, she's involved.
Which I'm fine with, but they're doing it to fucking be manipulative.
Yeah, they're manipulating us.
Right.
Well, not fucking me, anyway.
Not me, because fuck them. What? No, but...
Yeah.
No, and then, awful scene, man. When the CPS comes to her house, and it's the guy that she fucking had over for dinner, and then she's like, they tell her she has to leave.
And she acts all offended.
She acts all offended. I mean, it's just all over the place. Like you said, the introductory scene, too, where they're explaining she's behind on her caseload. She's all, yeah, because... Well, I have to get the kids to school, and this is this, and this is this, and this is... It's well, like, yeah. Sounds like you can't do the job.
Well, welcome to fucking being an adult. Like, you have to get there despite the fact that you've got adult things going on in your life.
Right, it sounds like you've got too much going on.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Like, are we good?
Yeah, are we good? Like, do you fucking get that you do literally have too much going on? Like, why... Are we supposed to empathize with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they're doing two things, right? They're having a little bit of an empowered... Latina thing going on.
I'm trying to get us to sympathize.
But also, yeah. She's kind of bad at her job, you know. And not only that, dude, but am I may be out of my depth here. But when the fuck is the goddamn caseworker called on a double homicide?
Very, 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 very.
Of two children.
When also they found those bodies in the middle of the night, which...
The like, night of! No fucking like, way!
That's not going to happen.
There's zero chance it's that like, they find oh, those hey,
you know what else, too?
The kids that are supposed to be here are missing. Oh, we found them.
1973 LA, get yeah, fucked.
Somebody's that place, swimming in a
that
river.
That place was a shithole in 1973.
Also, just how... Besides how contrived everything is in this movie, it seems like a minor point, but it's fucking... Just to mention it, since you guys are mentioning that part of the movie, there's two kids found dead, so she brings her kids with her and leaves them in the car by themselves
yeah.
in an urban area at night. Like, that would just not be the thing you would do. That yes. would just not make sense.
Especially as a CPS case worker. Like, right. you know, you would think that she would know slightly better. Like, right. call the other agent, call your detective friend. Right. He's not there. Like, fuck, man.
Right.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
You are apparently closely tied with the law enforcement of LA.
Yeah.
Get an officer to watch your house while you fucking go check out the case, or tell them fuck off, my kids are sleeping.
Which is also weird because I have you guys had experiences with social workers? Not yep. CPS per se, but social workers.
No. CPS, yeah.
Yeah, well, not CPS free, but social workers, though. You know, if anyone's ever gone and applied for an EBT listening to this, they're not fucking detectives and shit, you know? The way they portrayed social workers and CPS people in this film, as if, like, they're fucking FBI agents.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how this is not accurate. They're not, that's, yeah, it's not, there's not, it's not like that.
Even less so in the 70s. Like,
oh, fucking, yeah.
You know, like, now I would maybe think that a CPS... caseworker would be maybe more involved with a right. family. But, dude, I gotta tell you, 1971, 1973, whatever the fuck year, LA,
yeah.
They have way too much work to do and not enough people doing it.
Right. And then, you know, we're sitting here poking holes in this movie, but it's like, even if there was nothing to poke holes in, which there's nothing but
there's plenty
to poke
of
holes
stuff.
In. Yeah, even if there wasn't, but it just... we're at the 45-minute mark of this movie, and it's just give me something to be entertained by because it was fucking deadly bland. Like, so, the jump scares, you could see they're telegraphed a mile of fucking way.
Oh, dude, this was paint by numbers.
All the jump startles.
You know how I said I normally check my phone or my watch just to see like how far into the movie this beats motherfucker happened?
Was watching Death Proof while he was.
Dude, I was like, this has to be almost over, right? And it was like, oh my god, 22 minutes.
No, dude, you know.
And then every 10 minutes, I was looking at my watch. I'm like, oh my god.
You know what's really funny about that? So you know how the AMC app does the run pee thing?
Yeah.
It was
the whole movie was Run P.
Dude, so if you look at Run P for this movie, it's so it's 2 minutes in.
Wait, the AMC app does that?
Yeah, it's really cool. I'll show you.
Okay.
So 2 minutes in, it says, okay, go Run P because they've just explained the story of La Llorona. And then 43 minutes later, they're like, okay, now go pee again because she's going to go to the jail where that mom is. And then it's not
nothing till happened in those 43. Yeah. You know what happened in those 43 minutes? The scene in the car that they showed in its entirety plus some in the trailer.
Dude, and
yeah.
And that scene in the car is something else.
That kid got in the car, didn't even lock the door.
Because the Llorona scares them 3 times, dude, and it's like, fuck, how many times is enough?
It knows well La Llorona is a ham. She knows she's being filmed.
Yeah.
She really wants to draw these things out. No, dude, and that's the thing. Why does she touch it? Like, why does she finish the job? You know? There's several times where it touches the person and then like, oh, I'll get you later. It's like, no, finish the fucking job.
Yeah. Like, or like
you have to give me a reason why the kill couldn't be completed.
Yeah,
right now.
I'm gonna you know brush your hair for a little bit, but like no, you're good. I'm gonna unlock the door right before you die.
Then there was that one where the little girl has the umbrella next to the pool. She moves her umbrella down, and
that
it shows
whole scene. There was no reason for her to have that fucking umbrella, and there was no reason for it to be clear other than to put La Llorona.
It
in
was
there.
The most bizarre. Like we live in CGI, so let's put like when she moves the umbrella, you'll see it on the umbrella. Like why the fuck would you see the apparition only
dude,
on the umbrella?
I thought the same thing.
And that is fucking bizarre.
And not only that, but if that's the bit you're gonna go with,
yeah,
go a little bit further with it.
Right.
You know they show that she can see. What's her face for a split second? Like maybe like explore that a little bit further. Like maybe there's something there. I don't know, dude. But like they give you this half second of the umbrella can reveal La Llorona and
it's a Mary Poppins.
But like
umbrella.
That girl had the umbrella when there was zero indication that it was going to rain. It was actually a sunny day out. And then suddenly the wind just keeps blowing her closer and closer to water. It's like, wait, how can we get children close to water? Like what can we do? Bathtub? Shit. Swimming pool? How can we get him close to the pool? Give her a fucking umbrella and just keep blowing.
Yeah.
She was like a fucking fat guy with a donut on a fishing wire.
Dude,
where it's like, come on.
They're like, okay, well, we got to get these kids somehow to the Los Angeles River. We got to get them there. Bathtub. A swimming pool. It's raining. Fuck. I don't know.
Well, they got it all. I mean, pretty not all, but... you guys mention this a lot, but bad child actors.
Exceeding expectations.
The daughter was, I know she's a kid. Sorry, girl in the entertainment industry and your parents trying to make money off you or whatever's going on there or live through you vicariously. I don't know.
The worst.
Yeah, she's a fucking, that was, her facial expressions, those were not good. And just her look of the, because she's supposed to look confused and scared by the umbrella. Oh, there's a lot of things too. The reactions these people have to events, their motivations, the motivations for the characters and the reaction to events. These events, if they occurred, would be extremely unsettling. They would be extremely unsettling.
Yeah, and then they just, it's day to day for them.
It's pretty, like, it's like, yeah, it was not, yeah. There's several times where the characters' reactions are just, I did not buy at all that they were being affected by what was occurring.
Yeah. And so, the funniest thing to me is that like it seems like the entity, the La Llorona, seems to need to like level up.
Right.
And so okay, now it scares the boy. And okay, now it scares the girl. Right. And then it scares the mom. And then everybody sees her.
Right.
It's like you have to see her and then she has to grab you. And then it's like there's a fucking very detailed process, dude. You didn't pick up on that?
Yeah, you didn't catch that shit?
Well, you know what? Maybe there's rules there. I don't know. Maybe I yeah.
No, there's no fucking rules there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so like This movie, I mean, I was basically in a coma for 90 minutes because I kind of just stared blankly and felt nothing.
Hell yeah. Welcome to my whole life.
When it got to us, the couple seconds I did pop in and like realize what was going on, I kind of kept joking to myself, like, you're the La Llorona now. So like
you're
that,
the one.
So is that actually what happened at the end? Like,
I don't know.
Did the mom
dude.
Become because there was like a puddle and like they were doing the song and the mom's like frowning, but in the puddle it's a smile and it's like, you're the La Llorona now.
Is the that revenge what had of my Llorona.
Yeah,
my yeah. Llorona. So yeah, I mean, okay. So we can talk about the bad shit in this movie until we're fucking blue in the face.
And I don't want to talk about any of the things in this movie.
Whoa. I will say that the stuff that happens in the curandero's shop,
yeah,
like, that stuff is mostly at least entertaining. And his
all 3 seconds of it.
And his prep work, which ultimately meant nothing, you know, I think all that stuff where, what's his name?
Raymond Cruz.
Pretty okay.
Well, okay. Because by comparison, at the very least, I want to say a stock character, but they don't go to a priest. That's a cultural thing. Also, it's the intersection between science and religion, which is interesting to me. I like how the stuff was all belief based, like, well, obviously in faith based, but how the guy left the church, but he never left God.
Right.
So, et cetera, et cetera. This stuff's very real to him. That actor, he gives sufficient gravity to some of the situations. Like, even if no one else does, even if the situation's awful
he's working his ass off.
He's trying to do what he can.
Yeah.
He's trying to do what he can to respect himself, I guess. Because he's like, fuck it. At least I'll do the best I can with this material.
Yeah.
But, and with the little bits of heritage that are put in there, you know. But it actually, I mean, that's what I meant by world building earlier. There's a lot of specific, like we watched The Headhunter last week. Yeah, and you know, they use the he uses the potions to bring him back and this and that. And it would be nice if they did more world building with that, right?
Yeah.
Same with this, except this is actual stuff. Like Santeria and all of the stuff, like the Mexican culture with their whole pragmatic use of magic and belief systems and the intersection between Catholicism and old school witchcraft and Yaqui sorcerer shit. Yep. There's all sorts of shit.
So what are the Yanomani or what's that what it's
called? Like Carlos Castaneda, dude.
I
immediately more engaged in the movie because I was not engaged at all.
Yeah.
When he showed up. Once he gets to the house,
when he shows up and he's trying to, you know, prep for war, so to speak. That stuff is at least interesting. I'm somewhat engaged in what he's doing, and I even think that goofy part when he's like making scrambled eggs, and she says like, "Oh, like what ritual is this?" He goes, "So last
dude,
meal,
it
the
was...
last meal you're gonna have." And I was like, "All right, you got me. That's kind of funny. Like I'm sort of into this."
Well, because we do that stuff. We do have rituals, and it's just
he's the like breakfast
one.
For dinner, and right. Yeah, I was kind of, I liked his stuff, but her accompaniment to those scenes is the fucking worst.
What? Yeah. What, Matt?
What do you see?
Holy shit.
Matt's looking at something.
Little Turk sent me this video.
Jesus Christ.
This guy over here.
Jesus Cristo.
Yeah. No, dude, I checked out of this movie a long fuck. I checked out of this movie before I even finished watching it. I don't hate it. I'm not mad at it.
I actively hate it.
No, I just, it exists. That's the thing. You know, that's something Chris used to say is like, this is a movie that exists.
It's worse
than
that.
And that's
how
I feel about it. It's like, if you want to know what I think about this movie, listen to the Conjuring review. Listen to the Annabelle review.
A better idea to spend your time with this movie, if you've got one, ask your Latina grandmother to tell you the story of La Llorona.
You want the scary version.
Or if you've got Mexican friends, go talk to their grandma. They'll probably tell the story more effectively and more... with a little bit more gravitas.
Yeah. They'll be more inspired. Because this didn't feel inspired at all.
It's a shitty Conjuring universe cash grab.
And that's honestly, it felt like they were like, damn, we should make another Conjuring movie. But what are we going to do about a story? Ah, fuck, I don't know. We don't have any ideas. Why don't we just do the same story, but Mexican?
Question of the night. This or The Nun?
The Nun.
The Nun.
Nothing in this movie had any weight, had no...
At least the Nun had a fucking castle, you know what I mean? It had, like, it had a set. And
Thaisa Farmiga.
Yeah, at least the castle was somewhat of a character, right? Like, the, you know...
Well, it had some set, it could do some stuff with the, yeah, some
There's nothing here, there's no set. There's no set.
There's no nothing. Well, they wanted to be like, let's say I'm going to
be a period piece in 73. It's like, yeah, good job. Good job there.
Yeah, you fucked it.
You fucked it bad. Speaking of which, you guys mentioned how it was shot, too. That's the thing, too. I think it's possible. You could shoot a movie in a modern way, even though it took place in the 70s, if you wanted to, if you had enough period detail, if you made it authentic in other ways. However, you know, why? But the opening scene when they're getting ready for school... That fucking camera was moving around like a fucking Transformers
movie.
You
know what it reminded me of, dude?
Like, they were packing a backpack, and it was like, whoa!
You know, honestly,
yeah, dude, but it was a tracking shot, dude, which means it was art.
Do you know well, that's do what you I know, mean. That's when not... we don't need this tracking shot
Do
with
you know
the
what I kind of got the feeling? Somebody watched Nightcrawler and was like, I got it. I've got it. I've got the camera angles. I've got, like, we need to pull far out from L.A.
I skipped to, in my head, to the Blu-ray special features where the director's like, anyone who has children has had to get them to school knows that, like, that those last few minutes before you got to get them to the bus are chaotic. And I thought in a film, they never really represented that.
Maybe if you're
so I wanted to
parent.
Show maybe, like, a Michael Bay tracking shot. Like, where the camera's moving around all over the fucking
dude,
place.
You're 100% right, because, like, they even do that bit where they show the kids' shoes falling apart, and then they show the duct tape, but they don't show her fucking duct taping it. They're just next scene and go.
Yeah.
Because they're like, dude, look how clever.
Your brain is meant to connect the dots.
Look how clever we fucking are, because we know that you're going to get this. Yeah. Like, dude, I was like, oh, shit. All right.
Yeah.
All right, motherfucker.
That was good. Yeah, it's just pandering. This is one of the more pandering movies I've seen in a while, actually, now that I think about
it. But who are they pandering to?
They're pandering to the Midwest, because they're not doing these things. They're pandering to Latin culture because it's La Llorona. They're pandering to parents because of this. They're pandering to single mothers because of this. They're pandering to police officers and people who are fucking bootlickers because of this. They're pandering to social workers because of this.
The crazy thing...
It's fucking pandering.
The craziest thing about it is that, like, you know, so... You know, we're supposed to be given this character who is a strong single mother, but she kind of sucks.
Fuck this movie.
Hella sucks.
She kind of sucks as a single mom. And I'm not, that's not to say that, like, you know, being a single mom is easy. It's an incredibly difficult thing, but they didn't do
dude,
single moms.
You just went like full Bill O'Reilly or something right now. What? She kind of sucks as a single mom.
She does, dude. She leaves her kids at all hours of the fucking day.
She sucks at a lot of things.
She's like,
I prefer her in Grandma's Boy.
You said it earlier, like, she brings her kids to a fucking murder scene and is just like, you know what, you guys just chill.
Yeah.
Don't wake up your sister, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, she's...
And why are they calling... Like you said, why does the CPS worker need to be called in the middle of the night to go to the homicide scene?
At 2 in the morning, dude. Like, fuck. Like, let her sleep in.
Character motivations. The mom of the kids who got killed. She shows up to the fucking house during the climax with a gun. That was fucking wow. And then 5 minutes later... 5 minutes later...
She's the hero.
She fucking lets him go. Like, dude.
Pero por qué?
Can someone shoot that fucking lady?
Yeah.
Because she's a problem.
Yeah,
she's a big
is.
Problem.
Yeah, they let her go. No big deal.
Yeah.
When she goes like...
Plus, she was arrested for murdering her children, and suddenly she's walking the streets.
Because they didn't have evidence, I guess, against her. Dude, that whole scene where she goes, I pray to La Llorona to come get you. I go, well, first off, bitch, that ain't how it works.
Yeah, she don't care about your fucking prayers.
You can't fucking pray to a ghost, bitch. It's not like she's a
dumbass bitch.
She's not a saint.
Fucking with you,
stupid motherfucking bitch.
I ain't fucking with you. She ain't a saint. You can't pray to a fucking evil ghost, you dumb fuck. What?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, you can, dog. What do you think Christianity is? Wait a minute.
I don't give a fuck about you.
Wait a minute. Okay, I gotta mention this. So
mention it, dog.
I did have the pleasure of the there was a couple right next
pleasure.
To me and my
bitch,
my girl, and
we're like pizza and smash, dude.
Right at the beginning of the movie, this guy had commentary the whole time.
Oh, good. Oh,
that's George.
Right?
Are you sure I wasn't there?
And at first, it was like, "Fuck, is he gonna talk the whole time?" But then it was like, "Yeah, keep talking." Because this guy, he said the majority
talking,
of the time,
bitch.
And I don't need to mention things, he would go, shit. You got me fucked up. And he's all, why the fuck is she gonna go do that? Blah, 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 blah. And his girlfriend's like, shh, babe, shut up. We're in a movie theater. And I want to be like, no, bitch, let him talk.
Keep it, let him go.
Let him go.
Every time he said,
shit.
You were like, yep.
I was like, fuck yeah. And they showed the Joker trailer for this, and they showed Brightburn.
Oof. Yeah, the Brightburn trailer was the best part of this whole fucking movie.
Dude, this guy was like, he clapped at the end of both those trailers. That's how I knew. I was like, dude, this guy, I want to fucking
get him on the show.
I want to get him on the fucking show.
I was super whatever about Brightburn, and then I saw that trailer. And
that
I was
trailer
like,
is, I'm like, all right.
That's the second trailer that came out.
You got me, Doug.
A while ago. That's sad.
I see you seeing me, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like it's like Superman meets the Omen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into it.
I don't give a fuck about you.
I don't like those things.
What are you Crank playing? That Soldier are you playing Boy.
Definitely a movie where the trailers were fucking much.
Are you that checked out on this movie?
Dog, I was checking out this movie before I started
dumb
watching
son
it.
Son of a bitch. Are you actually playing Binding of Isaac?
Yeah.
I hate your guts. I can see your finger placement, dude, as if I can't tell what you're doing over there.
I'm trying to hide it. You look at me, it's obvious.
Oh, fuck. All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for La Llorona. Don't
honestly,
watch it.
Honestly, you're going to make an uninspired movie. I'm going to give you an uninspired review.
Don't watch it. Don't smoke it. Don't see it.
Don't patronize it, don't this fucking it. Film.
It was,
but dude, patronize this podcast.
Yeah, patronize the, us.
I don't think it's made a whole ton of money.
It opened $25 million
plus. You know what the budget was?
$0.
No.
14.
It was $9 million. You know how much they made in the opening week?
25.
56.
Damn, No.
Yeah.
Domestic?
Bitch, I don't know.
Domestic or
they
craft?
Just made that much money.
Hold the fucking.
They just made them a craft.
Dude,
shit,
if
dog.
They made 50,
okay, 26 million domestic. Okay,
that's still it's
30 million overseas. See, that's the thing,
what
too.
Idiot country is paying for this?
Because
shit?
It's Latin. That's what I mean. They got all of South America.
Doug, Mexico. And overseas.
Mexico loves this.
Mexico
shit.
I will tell you this. I was with my family. Duh.
They feel like they're getting a pat on.
Look, I was with my family today, and they were like, "Oh, we're gonna go see La Llorona." And I was like, "Don't."
Of course they are.
I was like, "Don't watch it." And they're like, "Why? It looks really fun." And I go, "Don't."
Nah, my wife is fucking.
Dude, it's called La Llorona. They're going.
My wife is hardcore Mexican, and she's like, I want nothing to do with that movie.
It's because there's a movie called Santa Claus. We're going. Like, what the fuck?
There's a movie called Santa Claus. Satan Claus?
And
Santa.
They won't go.
Dog, you won't go.
All right, that's it. We're done with this piece of shit. Don't watch it. Don't do it.
Let's get it.
Shit.
Hey, let's get it.
Hey, Rhett.
Yeah.
What's the links, dude?
Yeah. Rum on my side.
Linktree. What the fuck is Linktree? You can find Who Goes There podcast on iTunes.
Yes.
There's also whogoestherepodcast.com, which a lot of people seem to not know about.
Yeah, it's true. That's where all of our episodes
he's hitting
all of the
shit.
Episodes are on there.
All of them.
And that's, by the way, I don't know, it's because I'm fucking old or something. That's where I go to listen to the show.
Yeah.
So something's wrong.
You can
with
also
me.
Find us on the Dread Central website.
Dread Central if website. What Dread Central has great stuff. News stuff and other stuff too, by the way. It does. They do have good stuff.
No, I'm impressed.
He's a company, man.
I'm impressed with what you're doing right now. Well, I want you to keep doing it.
They
keep
do
going.
Have good fucking news.
I
stuff.
Agree with you.
Yeah,
going.
We're not disagreeing.
They better
with you.
What the fuck do they have a website for? I mean, shit. That's what
Dread
they do,
Central.
Right?
What the
better.
Fuck do they
what
have
the
a website
fuck do they have
for?
A website for? Rhett Creel 2019.
We have an Instagram page. Find us on Facebook. Dude, is there a fucking Twitter?
We are, yeah. But like barely.
No, I'm on Twitter all the time.
Okay, never
mind. I mean, not all the time. I go on and I look at our notifications wrestling and news. I respond accordingly. And
all right.
Bitch, I got my wrestling news other places.
Any other way that the show's accessible?
That's it, basically.
Also,
there's an app. Someone looked up the podcast app that I was with the other day, and we were right on there, had a 5-star rating, which was nice.
Yeah.
That's hella tight.
Yep.
You can also go to TellyRideHorrorShow.com and buy 3-day passes for the Telluride Horror Show 2019 and come hang out with at least me and all
of you. At least two of us.
Rhett might be there. Hans will be there. Fucking King Sam is going to be there. It's going to be fucking hella tight, and it's their 10-year anniversary, so there's some big things in store. And
we will be sponsoring trivia
and
yet again.
There might be a new host for trivia. Wink, wink. Just saying.
Ballpark figure, how much that runs?
So the tickets, I think, for a 3-day pass are roughly $100, which that's
fucking nothing.
That's at least 5 movies a day.
I'm going. I'm going.
P.S. Your tickets are covered.
Yeah, oh!
You just got to handle your flights and hotels. It's not the easiest place to get to.
You just got
to
sket it.
Patreon, We need more money, hotel, flight. Think about it.
To be fair, think about it. I've Wait paid for Telluride out of my own pocket every year.
All right, cool. Well, that's it for the Gozer Podcast, episode 211.
311, dog? Chill.
Chill.
Let out my side as my ego becomes.
Later, dummies. I hate your fucking guts.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.